Good morning. We're so glad you are all here with us this morning, braving the cold, windy weather. Just a couple quick announcements tonight. We are not having evening Bible study because we're going to have the Booper Soul Party, aka the Super Bowl Party. So that'll be here tonight from 6 to 11. So if you want to come and watch the game or just come and hang out and play board games and all, please come and enjoy as the youth and the adults hang out together tonight. Also, next weekend is going to be a very busy weekend. Saturday, February 13th at 6, we're going to have movie night here, and we're going to be watching The War Room, which is a very awesome movie. So I encourage you to invite your friends and come out and watch that. And then we're going to have Heart Sunday, February 14th, which is also Valentine's Day. And we're going to have some small treats and things out in the vestibule there after service is over. So just mark your calendars for those. And again, tonight we're not having Bible study, but we're going to have the Booper Soul Party. So come and hang out and enjoy this evening. Let us open with prayer. Lord, we give you praise and glory for who you are. Thank you for getting us here. Thank you that we have a warm place to worship you and to hear your word, Lord. And we just give you praise. Thank you for the beauty of the snow, for the beauty of the sun, Lord. And just thank you that we can look outside and just see how good you are. Lord, we praise you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. We're going to open with Sweet Hour of Prayer.
My Father's throne, take all my wants.
Amen. That's a good one. Sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. Right now, I'm losing that. I've stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken to be all right. Right now, oh, right now. When there's nothing to bring me down, what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand, but even if you don't, my hope privilege of being in your house this morning. It's surely a blessing to be here with others of like faith, Lord, and to praise you in song and to lift up our voices. And we hope this morning that it glorifies you, Lord, that all the glory is for you. We praise you for the message that Jeremy is going to bring us today, and we ask that you plant it in our hearts, that we can go out into a lost world and tell others about Christ. Lord, give us the courage and the will to do such. Lord, we love you so much for all you've given us this past week, and for all the blessings and all your protection, for the beauty of your winter, all the many things that it's overwhelming, Lord, how much you love us and how much you care for us, even though we're sinners. Lord, again, we thank you so much for the privilege of being here, and our hearts ache for all those who can't be here this morning, that you will wrap your loving arms around them and grow their faith, Lord, that someday we can all meet here again and sing your praises together. Again, Lord, bless this service, and it's in Jesus' name I pray.
The grave is all. Good morning. Extremes. It seems that everywhere we look nowadays, there are extremes. Countries are trying to outdo one another with the tallest building, the longest bridge, the highest tunnel. Burj Khalifa is in the United Arab Emirates. Is the tallest building in the world. 2,717 feet. Think about that. That's over a half a mile high building. One World Trade Center in New York seems like a miniature at 1,772 feet, but it is still the tallest building in the Western Hemisphere, and it is the sixth tallest building in the world. The Beijing-Shanghai High-Speed Railway Bridge is the longest one. It is 102.4 miles long. The Eisenhower Tunnel through the Continental Divide in Colorado is the highest roadway tunnel at 11,158 feet. Nature sometimes has extremes, which we found out ourselves. Connie and I and Jeremy were in Colorado, and the first time we went through the Eisenhower Tunnel. Jared was driving, our son, I think everybody knows that, but he was all hyped up. He says, "You can't believe when we come out of the west side of the tunnel," he says, "the scenery is just absolutely beautiful looking down at Silverthorne and that area on the west side." And so, hey, great. Weather was absolutely beautiful as we come up the east side towards the tunnel. really, really sunny, beautiful day. And as we pass through the nearly 2 mile long tunnel, we were much surprised when we got to the other side, because when we came out, we were in the middle of a whiteout blizzard and could hardly see the car in front of us. Other extremes. Throughout my career, I've worked with some individuals that have extremes. One day, they are on top of the world. And the next day, it's almost the end of the world to them. But we got to realize, extremes have been throughout the ages. In less than 2 months, we will be celebrating Palm Sunday. And a week later, we will celebrate Resurrection Sunday, which is mainly known as Easter. Zechariah foretold, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Our Lord and Savior rode into Jerusalem triumphantly on Palm Sunday. And he was treated as he should be, the King of all ages. They spread their garments out and put out palm branches and shouted, "Hosanna to David in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heavens." Yet, less than 1 week later, our Savior hung on that cruel cross and suffered the most terrible, agonizing death of that day. Thankfully for us, 3 days later, he arose victorious. We can be thankful when dealing with our salvation, God does not exercise the extremes that we truly deserve. Praise God, his plan of salvation is the same today as it was in the beginning, as it was when Christ arose, and will be the same until he comes again. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we need to be a thankful people because we know we're sinful and we know what we deserve. But that plan you put in place, our Savior, your Son and one and only begotten Son, went to that cross, and it was because of us. We thank you again. Amen.
Good morning. We come to prayer time. There was no prayer request today, but we definitely have some praises. On our prayer list, we have Harry James Dowdy. Nalia had a little baby boy. And Diane Keller has a great grandson, William David Dickinson. And also we have another praise, and that is that Joel is here with us today. So, nice to see you, Joel. But we also have, there's 6 different families on our prayer list that have lost somebody here recently. And we need to be in prayer for these families. And then, and we also have those that are missing, that are sick. We've got missing that are hurting. Annette, believe me, I know what it's like to have kidney stones, so I feel very sorry for Annette. And Randy does too. So just now, let's take everyone that's on our prayer list and think about them and pray for them. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, we ask that you would be with those that are hurting, those that are sick. Lord, we ask that you would be with those that have lost loved ones. Lord, we know it's a tough time, and you have the answers, Lord. We just have to look for it. Lord, we ask that you'd be each and every person on the prayer list. Help them as only you can, Lord. And just now, we ask that you bless Jeremy in his sermon this morning, that he reaches and touches our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. I'd say it's good to see you, Joel, but I took my glasses off, so I can't see anything back there. It helped me read. We're so glad everybody could be here this morning. As you know, we've been walking through the book of 1 Kings, and we're going to continue that walk this morning. And as we've been walking through this book, we're looking at how Christ is reflected, because Christ is the King of Kings. He is the true King. And through this book, we're going to meet some good kings, we're going to meet some bad kings, but through it all, it points to Jesus. And we're going to see characteristics of Jesus come out, and we've already seen a couple of those characteristics come out in the first couple of chapters. In Solomon's inauguration, we saw, just as Randy had spoken about Palm Sunday, when Jesus rides in, the palm branches, the people screaming, riding on a donkey, Solomon rides in on a donkey, and the people hail the King of Israel. We've looked at Solomon, how he deals with justice. He is now the new ruler, so how does he come in? How does he bring justice? And we saw through different characters the way that he interacted with the people who his father told him to get rid of, and how God's mercy is shown to us through different ways. And we looked at those characters, and some of those characters we may be able to relate to. So this morning we're going to look at Solomon's most grandest moment that he ever had. So if you would turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. And as you do that, I want to give you this illustration. On Easter Sunday 2013, the southbound side of I-77 near the North Carolina-Virginia border was closed for hours following a massive chain of accidents. Police later reported that 17 different collisions involved 95 cars and trucks. The wrecks were left 3 people dead and more than 24 injured, many of them seriously. The cause of the accident was people driving into a thick fog that descended over the interstate that Sunday afternoon. A police spokesman said visibility at the time this accident occurred was down to about 100 feet or less. As people continued to drive blindly forward, they could not see the danger that was just ahead until it was too late. Prudence reminds us to be on guard for danger, not just in the present, but in the future as well. Because of the way our minds work, we often tend to discount what may happen in the future because it simply hasn't happened yet. And we're going to look at that this morning. How do we see the future? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we can come and we can sit at your feet, that we can open your word, and that we can walk with you. That as we open the Old Testament, that we can see your Son, that we can see your character. Lord, as we walk through chapter 3 this morning, help us to see the choices that are before us. Help us to see the questions that you are asking. Help us to respond as Solomon responded. Lord, we praise you, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The question I have this morning is, how do we make decisions? These people that were driving on the interstate that Easter Sunday, and Morgan can testify, and so can the children, we were on that mountain many, many times. I remember one time coming, I think it was this direction, we were coming and the fog was literally that thick. And on the one side, you have a drop-off. You don't know where the next turn is. You don't know what's ahead of you, what car's ahead of you, but you know there's a drop-off just right out that door. I had to tell Morgan to just close her eyes, and I'll tell you when we're out of this mess. So she closed her eyes for that section of the highway. It's a very dangerous section of highway. These people, they just kept going forward. Slowed down, but kept going forward. How do we make decisions? We've looked at how we choose a king, and we've looked at how we enact justice. But today, if you could ask anything, you can ask anything in the world, what would it be? You see, Jesus says in John 14, chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, he says, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." So if you can ask for anything, what would it be? You see, sadly, that's been a scripture that's been twisted many, many times. There's a lot of pastors who will stand up, the name it and claim it pastors, and they'll say, "You ask it. If it doesn't happen, it's your fault. You didn't believe it." So, because God said, ask anything. But does he mean that? Does he mean ask for $1 million, a giant house, and he will give it? What does he mean by that? We're going to look at that this morning because Solomon is given that same question. Verse 5 of chapter 3. At Gibeon, the Yahweh appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I shall give you." Ask what I shall give you. In other words, ask me anything is the way we read that. It's an opening statement, right? Ask. How many of you as children or as parents, your children come home from your parents and you're shaking your head going, "Why, oh, why?" I remember one time when we were in Greensboro, my parents took the children to the Greensboro. It's kind of like a museum and an aquarium and all of this stuff. And what is Polly Marie's favorite animal? Anybody remember? It's a shark. Polly Marie comes home with a shark that's this huge, a stuffed shark. Thanks, Grams and Pappy. And we still have the giant shark. We have the giant shark. And so it's Grandpa, Grandma taking you to Walmart. Anything you want, it's yours. Ask anything and it's yours. God says, "What shall I give you?" But did you notice that there's a catch to that statement? If you continue in verse 6, what does it say in verse 6? "And Solomon said," you see, God doesn't say, "Ask, what shall I give you, and I'll do it." He doesn't say, "I'll do it." He says, "Ask, what shall I give you?" Here's a better way to look at this question. What did I bring you? In other words, what do I have for you? You see, when God's asking this question to Solomon, he's not saying, "You just ask it and I'll give it." He's asking Solomon, "How well do you know me? How well do you walk close to me? Because I have something for you, but what is it?" Ask what I shall give you. Not what do you want, what shall I give you? And so to ask that question, we've got to look at Solomon. How does Solomon answer this question? Well, let's go back up a minute and let's look at how Solomon sees this question, how Solomon answers the question. You see, starting in verse 3 of chapter 3, Solomon loved Yahweh, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and made offerings at the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. The temple hadn't been built yet. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. You see Solomon's character? You see, Solomon loved Yahweh. He loved God with all his heart, his mind, his soul. He remembered what his daddy had taught him. And he walked in those statues. Remember, David, before David dies, he says, "Walk in this way. Keep God before you. Keep his commandments before you. And he will prosper you. Not give you a bunch of money, not give you a bunch of things. He will prosper you." In other words, he'll get you to the end of the goal line. He'll get you with him. He'll keep you safe. Solomon loved Yahweh. Not only did he love him, but he walked in the statues of David. 1 Kings 2 through 4 says all of those words we just said that David told his son. Walk this way. Not only does he love him and walk in his statues, keeps his commandments, but he sacrifices at the high place. Notice, Solomon doesn't just come and lay down the sacrifice and say, "Okay, I'm done for the day. Time to move on. Check that off my list for the day." No, it says that he made 1,000 burnt offerings. Now think about that in Solomon's time period, not ours. We look at it our time period. Okay, I came in here for an hour. I'm done and I can go home. To offer a burnt offering, to do this, you had to take the live animal. You had to kill the live animal. You had to cut the live animal up, get the pieces that were required for this offering. Then you had to burn the offering. And to offer 1,000 means that you had to wait until that first one was gone before you could start the process all over again. This was a process that took Solomon a couple hours, probably all day to do, maybe more than that. Solomon was dedicated to Yahweh. He was dedicated to honoring God. Solomon's reply, he understood what God was saying. Ask me what I have for you. Ask me what I have for you. How does he reply? Look at verse 6 through 9. And Solomon says, "You have shown great mercy and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept from him this great and steadfast love. Kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. Now, O Yahweh, my God, you have made me your servant, king in place of David, my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this great people? Do you see what Solomon is saying here? Solomon is coming and he's saying, "Who am I? Who am I to ask anything from you? You have made David, you have made my father the great king that he is. You have protected him. You have blessed him. And not only that, you kept your word to him and you honored me to sit on his throne. Who am I to ask of anything?" And what does he call himself? He calls himself a child. How many teenagers do you know, if you go to them and call them a child, they get mad, right? Can you see a grown man, a 20-year-old, maybe a 30-year-old, we're not sure exactly how old Solomon is, calling himself a child? He's relating himself to Oliver. "I am nothing. I am a child. That is it. You are great. You are mighty. I'm just a child." You see, it is you and you only who made my father David great. And your hand has been upon him. Your love and your mercy allowed me to sit on this throne. I am but a child. And I want to walk in service to you. I have lots to learn. I could do this my way. I could listen to my father. I could listen to my advisors. And I could rule this people. I have the capabilities. I have the intelligence to do this. But this is your people. I want to lead this nation in service to you because it's your people. I do not know how to do this on my own. So instead of trying to do this on my own, instead of trying to figure this out, instead of going to my wise people as many kings before have done, look at Pharaoh, look at Nebuchadnezzar, Alexander the Great, they all had their royal council, their wise men, their magicians who guided them. Solomon says, "I can't do this on my own. I need your grace. I need your wisdom and I need your mercy, because these people are people that you established long before me, back in Abraham's day. You promised Abraham a nation. You promised Jacob to be a people and he would be the father of those people. You changed Jacob's name to Israel and we are now the Israelites because of Jacob. You brought us out of Egypt to lead and become a nation. You conquered this land and gave it to us as you promised Abraham. And many times we've disobeyed and we've run our own way and you've protected us with judges. And then when we really turned our backs and demanded a king, you gave us a king. And not only a king, but when that one disobeyed, you gave David, my father, who worshipped you with all that he was, and you've made us great. We are your people, and who am I to step in here and say, this is the way we're going to do things? No, your people had success because Moses bowed their knees to you,
your people had success because Joshua bowed his knee to you. We had success because David bowed his knee to you. I bow my knee to you. You rule this people. I am nothing but a servant to you. You be glorified in all things. I am nothing but a child. I am nothing without you, and my kingship is nothing without you. Do we come to Jesus that way? Do we bring our lives before Jesus and say, I am nothing without you, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling, because without you, I can't do this. I can have successes and I can have little victories. But in the long run of things, those little victories are nothing compared to you. So I give you my life. I give you my family. I give you my schedule. I give you my all, because if I lose it all, just like the song, it is well with my soul. The words of that, I lose it all, I still have you. And that's all I need. Because you are all. There's a song I like by Cutlass that says, if I lose it all, will I still lift my hands in praise to you? If I lose it all, will I still lift my hands in praise to you? It's a question we got to really look at. It's a question we have to really think about. Do we give it all to Jesus? Do we come and say, I am but a child, and look at all the great things that you have done? The greatest being dying on the cross in my place. I can never repay that. I can never repay the breath that you gave me this morning. You are all there is. And I give it all to you. Do we reply like Solomon? Because God asks the question, what shall I give you? Look at the blessings we have. Family, children, homes, breath, food, warmth. Do we honor God with what we have? Solomon was honoring God with all that he was. He knew where he stood. Could Solomon been a great king without this conversation? Probably. You see, the first king was a pretty great king. He wasn't the best, but he was a pretty great king. But God said, you're not obeying me, so you're no longer king. David honored God. Solomon honors God. And what does this bring Solomon? You see, verse 10 of chapter 3, this is what Solomon's answer got. It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right. Behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall rise after you. I give you also what you have not asked. What a gracious king. What a gracious God. I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for. Here's what you didn't ask for that you're going to get, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. Do you see what happened? I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for. I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for. You didn't ask for life. You didn't ask to be with me. But I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you the very access to the throne. You didn't ask for it, but I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to give it to you through the blood of my son. challenge us this morning to come. Lay it down. Empty your hands. Empty anything that may be holding and give it to God. You see, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, God speaks to Eli, "Therefore Yahweh, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that your house and the house of your father should go in and out before me forever. But now the Yahweh declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." You see, God has given us what we've not asked for. You see, when we're born and we come out and we grow like little Jovi there, God says, "What shall I give you?" Here's what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you life. I'm going to give you breath. But what are you going to do with it? Are you going to honor me? Are you going to come to me? Because when you come to me, when you honor me, here's what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you forgiveness. I'm going to give you hope. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you access to my throne. And here's the catch. You really don't have to do anything but honor me. And what I mean by honor is believe. Believe that Jesus came to the earth, that He died on the cross, that He rose again for us, for me, that He did this for me and asked nothing in return. He didn't come to me and say, "Here's the agreement. I'm going to do this and here's what you're going to do for me." No, He said, "This is the plan." And He walked that plan out. So again, I challenge you as we close here. What do you bring? How do you answer this question? What shall I give you? Do we come with our hands opened wide and say, "I have nothing. I am but a child, for it is all yours to begin with. My only desire is to serve you with all that I am." Or do we come holding on? "I'll give a little bit of this, but a little bit of that's mine." The choice is ours, how we come. And if you have questions, if you have desires and want to know more, come. There's plenty of people that can sit down and walk through this. But thank you for Solomon's answer. An answer that we can look to and that we can follow. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for Solomon's heart. Thank you for allowing us to see it. Thank you that he chose above all to bring honor to you, that he knew that you were great and that you were mighty to be praised, and that there was nothing that he could do to ever stand in that place. That he didn't put his own desires, his own skills in front, but he chose to lay it all down, to lay it all aside and to say, "You alone are God, and it is you alone that will lead this people. And it is you alone that will make this nation great. My only desire is to serve you with all that I am." Lord, let that be our plea today. Let us serve you with all that we are. Nothing in our hands we bring, simply to that beloved cross we cling. We give you glory, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jeremy. That's a good sermon. Tough one to add to. I'm supposed to take this thing and drive it home, and he does such a good job. He makes my job pretty difficult. But Mitch was talking about it in class. That's kind of been the theme of today. How when he called the disciples and they've seen that Jesus was the Son of God, and they forsake all and dropped everything they were doing to follow him. Fishermen, commercial fishermen that just had the biggest catch of their life, the most profit they would have ever had, they forsaked all and followed Jesus. They just dropped it all. And that's what we need to do. We need to forsake everything, you know, and follow Jesus. And it's tough. You got to give 100%. It's tough not to, you know, just give me 2 or 3% back, Lord. You know, just let me control that. Just like he said when Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, he was fine until he looked away from Jesus. We can't look away from Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is our saving grace. And we're going to have a time of invitation. If anybody needs to draw close to Jesus, even if you know Jesus and you're hanging on to that little bit you need to let go of, if there's any way that we can help you reach that goal of giving Jesus your all, please come forward as we sing a song of invitation. Please stand.
Seems like we live in some pretty tough times right now. So, you know, we're few in number right now, but we're here. And I think that's the important thing. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we are so happy that we can come here in a warm building, worship you, hear your word given to us as Jeremy did so well this morning, that we can look at the past, understand how Solomon asked just to be able to do his job, to lead his people, to keep them on the right path, worshiping you. That's all we want to do here. Father, we love technology. We're happy that people who aren't able to come can get on the internet and they can be a part of this service by hearing it. But Lord, our hearts ache for the day when we can get back to normal. When we can see those faces, we can have those conversations. To know what people need, what's making them happy, what's making them sad. Yeah. That's what we were hoping that you'll allow us to do in 2021. We know that you're capable, and we we just trust in you. Pray, Father, for those that that need prayer, that are suffering with the viruses, with loss of family members. We just want you to wrap your arms around them. Lift them up, Father. Help us to do the same. We ask this all in Jesus' name.
God bless.